the third commandment. If we start in Deuteronomy 5, and I'm going to go to verse 11 of Deuteronomy 5. And Deuteronomy 5, again, is where the Ten Commandments are stated. And I come from a background of a Sabbath-keeping church about 1819 when I started getting involved with the Sabbath. And in the church I came from, the Worldwide Church of God, the Sabbath was emphasized very much. You know, it was one of the biggest things they talked about, the Sabbath day. And I really got a good foundation of the Sabbath day and what that Sabbath day meant and that it was still a commandment. But, you know, it's interesting. I read a little flyer one time put out by one sacred name group, and it said, "Sabbath keepers, are you keeping all the commandments?" And it really made me think as I read this thing, and this is what I want to talk about today. I want to go to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 11. And it says, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh your Elohim in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Now, I think we all know, many of us have come out of Christianity or some form of Christian church, and when you talk to most people, especially Catholic people, and you say, "Do you believe in the Ten Commandments?" they'll say yes. Now, I know there's a big movement in the last 10, 20 years of evangelical Christianity saying the law is nailed to the cross, but many, many Christians will say they keep the commandments. And then you'll start to say, "Well, what about the Sabbath day?" Well, no, we don't have to keep that one and different ones. But this commandment, probably more than any other, has been misunderstood because people don't understand what it means. It's pretty simple. Do not lie, do not steal, do not commit adultery. These are pretty simple things anyone can understand. But what does it mean not to take Yahweh's name in vain? Well, it means several things. Number one, if you look up the word "in vain," literally in the Hebrew, it means to change, to falsify, or to make common. That's literally the definition of in vain. To change, to falsify, or to make common. To make common literally means to bring to nothing. You know, make it, bring the name to nothing. Now, I'm reading here from an interlinear Bible. Most people know what that is. For people who may be getting that tape later and don't know what an interlinear Bible is, I'll explain. Someone called my parents one time, and a lot of people don't understand. Our parents are kind enough to help us in ministry, but they're not believers, and my dad is sending out a lot of the books and whatnot. But they're not believers in that. My father isn't qualified to answer biblical questions. You know, he hasn't read the Bible and he doesn't understand it. And someone called and was asking my mother if they can get in touch with me and find out how to get J.P. Green's interlinear Bible, you know. And my mother said, "Ooh, a green Bible?" She said, "I've seen a black Bible. I've never seen a green Bible." So she's telling me, "Does this man want a green Bible, Don? How can he get a green Bible?" So again, you know, we tell people, a lot of people that are coming involved with our ministry don't understand we don't live in America, that we live 6 months of the year in Israel and we travel around. But if they write us with questions, we'll always answer them. It may take a month or even 2 months, but definitely we'll answer in time. But this is what I'm reading out of J.P. Green's Interlinear Bible. What that means is this is the original Masoretic text of the Old Testament and the Textus Receptus, that's the received text. And here's the difference between like the King James, which is based on the Textus Receptus, and the NIV, which is based on another text called the Nestle. In the Textus Receptus, there's over 1,100 manuscripts that basically say the same thing. 98% are the same. So you're getting credible evidence of all these different manuscripts that have been found from all these places that say the same thing. And anybody that tells you the New Testament isn't true or it's not credible, it's a bunch of baloney. From a historical standpoint, from an archaeologist or a historian, there is no more credible historical book in the world than the New Testament. You know, most historical references people have, like something like from Plato or Aristotle, if you have two references, historians are amazed that they found two references that say the same thing. Here we have over 11,000. So, you know, again, I know even in some messianic circles, people are starting to doubt the New Testament or the credibility of it, and it's not. The New Testament is very solid. Historically, it's very credible. And that's why I tell Jewish people, if you don't believe the theology, that's one thing, but you have to give it historical credence, more than anything else for that reason. The Nestle from the NIV many times uses one or two references, and leaves the other 11,000 apart. So instead of looking at the 11,000 that say one thing, they look at the two that say something else. And that's why in cases of emergencies, we'll give somebody an NIV Bible if we had to, someone who doesn't speak English. But we're very leery of handing out NIV Bibles because, like I said, it's not the translation is bad. From the text is good, but the text is bad. The literal text, the Nestle's text, is not a good text. The Textus Receptus is much better. Now, whether you're using a King James Bible that has Textus Receptus, or you're using an NIV Bible that has the Nestle, all of them, absolutely all of them, apart from an interlinear Bible, or unless you have a sacred name Bible, does something that is one of the worst sins you can do in the Bible. Deuteronomy 4:2. You are not to take away a word from this Bible or add a word to it. Period. That's what the Father said. Don't add any words or don't take any words away. And yesterday we were talking about rabbinical Judaism. And the premise of rabbinical Judaism is they have the authority to change Scripture. And we know that's not true. And today we're not going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about, in our circles, people who, whether they call themselves Christians, Messianics, the Way, Nazarenes, whatever, believers in Yeshua, we don't have any right to change one word of Scripture. Well, what you'll find out is, like I said, and if you have a Bible in front of you that's King James or any other English translation, you'll find out that the personal name of Yahweh, Yod Hey Vav Hey in the Hebrew, or YHWH, has been taken out of the text 7,000 times. 7,000 times. That's a lot of sin. 7,000 times, and has been replaced with the generic word L-O-R-D, Lord, or G-O-D, God. Now, sometimes they'll take the name Elohim, the Hebrew name for God, and use the word God. It's a title. Elohim is a title. In English, the word God is a title. But it's not a personal name. What has happened today in religious circles, and I don't care whether it's Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, the personal name of our Father has been replaced with titles. And like I said, even Judaism, they will not say the name Yahweh, they say Hashem, but they do use the name God many, many times. You'll hear God, 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 but they won't use the personal name of the Father. So again, what they're doing is, even in the Hebrew, every time they see the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the name Yahweh, they replace it with the name. Now, here's the two sins that come about. Number one, like I said, to take a personal name out 7,000 times and replace it with a generic title is definitely going against the third commandment. You shall not change, falsify, or bring to nothing. To take our Father's name and call him the name is definitely bringing it to nothing. It's making it common. See, and titles are common. The same way I could look at Cliff, and if I just call him the man over here, well, there's nothing wrong with a reference to use a title and call him a man. But if I only call him the man, I'm bringing his name to nothing. Because nobody knows his name is Cliff then. They just know him as the man that Don kept talking about. So we want to make sure, not that titles are wrong all the time, but we want to make sure that we're not bringing the Father's name to nothing. And think about it. The oracles of Yahweh were given to the Jews to make sure that the Scriptures would be preserved. And today, there's still a complication of how to say the name Yahweh. There's different ways. Some people say this way. Some people say that way. Some people say this way. If the Jewish people never brought the name to nothing, we would have never lost the meaning of how to say it. And I don't believe it's lost, but everybody else who says it their way doesn't believe it's lost either. But if it was continuously said, we would have never even had this problem with it. So clearly from the third commandment, remember as we go along here, you're not to change, falsify, or make the name common. Another thing with some people calling themselves Yahwehists, and we come from Congregation of Yahweh, so we use the name, but I don't really like to say I'm a Yahwehist, because to me, I don't think it's really a doctrine. It's just a fact. I mean, if this is his name, why wouldn't we use his name? Why wouldn't we call him by his name? But, you know, sometimes people, they make everything of their congregation or their church into just that one facet of it. So we do use the name. We proclaim the name. When I read, I will not change the name reading. I'm going to say the name that's there. And a little while ago, we were invited here in Jerusalem to somebody's house for dinner, and they asked me if I'd read a scripture in Isaiah. And as I'm reading it, I'm saying the name Yahweh where it appears. They said, why are you using that name? I said, well, that's his name. It says it here. But why are you using that name? And they were offended. So I said, well, please have someone else read that. But I'm not going to change the word of Scripture because it's going against the commandments. And like I said, not once or twice, 7,000 times, just in the Old Testament, 7,000 times the name has been taken away. Very interesting. The Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, we're not going to go on our tour to the Israeli Museum, but for the people that are staying extra days, if you'd like to, I'll set up when we get back here to go to the Israeli Museum and see the Dead Sea Scrolls, and there's a lot of other things to see there. What you'll notice when you see the Dead Sea Scrolls at the Israeli Museum, the Dead Sea Scrolls are written in what's called the block Hebrew. It's Babylonian Hebrew. It's not the ancient Paleo Hebrew. But wherever the sacred name comes, you'll see it in the original Paleo Hebrew. So sacred of the name to these ancient people who wrote these scrolls that not only wouldn't they bring it to nothing, they would not even change it from ancient Hebrew into modern Hebrew. That's how sacred the name was. And just logically think to yourself, all of us have a name. We meet many, many people. I mean thousands of people. And I'm pretty good. I used to have a total photographic memory that I never forgot a name or a face. As you start getting older, it starts, you know, getting down some. But when you meet somebody, it's not offensive if someone doesn't remember your name the first time or the second time. But think about it. After building a relationship, after everyone in this room I know, if I came up to you and didn't remember your name, wouldn't it be a little bit hurtful? Wouldn't it make you feel a little bad? I know it does with me. If it's someone I don't know, that's different. But someone who knows me in a personal way, somebody that I say, hey, I met this guy here. What if I told you, like, Miha? You know, I said, oh, this great guy, we're working together. What if he came in and forgot my name? You know? It's just the thing, because our name is important. What our name, it has to do with who we are. You know, when you say the name of somebody, it's not just letters. It's the character of that person. And when you think of names, when I say the name David, Abraham, they're not just names. There's character coming in of these people. And in Hebrew, every name means something. So with the name above all names, the names that created every name, would his name really have no meaning or significance? It's crazy. And I wonder why there's such a blinder to that. Because, again, it's not a doctrine. It's just a fact. We all have a name. We all like to be called by our name. So why would we think the Creator doesn't care whether he has a name or not? And that's what we're going to look into today, a little bit of what he says about his name. Let's go to Malachi 1 and verse 6. And I just want to show you how rabbinical Judaism today, by calling Yahweh Hashem, or the name, and bringing the name to nothing, how really what that does is not give any kind of glory to our Father by doing that. Go to Malachi, the first chapter, and I'm going to read verse 6 and then verse 11. Malachi 1, verse 6 says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says Yahweh of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, in what way have we despised your name? Drop down to verse 11. For from the east to the west, my name shall be great among the nations, and everywhere incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure food offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says Yahweh of hosts. So they're saying, where have we blasphemed your name? Again, bringing the name to nothing. And he says, my name shall be great. Is his name great among Orthodox Judaism? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it's amazing because, you know, if you look in every religion of the world, they all have a name for their deity. Mm-hmm. And it seems Judeo-Christians are the only one that have no name. They just have a title. They have a generic title. And, you know, the Father said in times past, I did not reveal my name to Abraham by this, but to Moses, but to you I did reveal the name and to these people. And there's a specialness, because with a name, with a personal name, comes a relationship. Think about it. Is there anybody in this earth today, any human being, that you have a personal relationship with that you don't know their name? Of course not. You know, I mean, you build personal relationships with somebody. You don't wake up one morning next to your wife and you don't know what her name is. You know, or you don't, your children don't come in and you don't remember what the name of your children is. Let's go to Romans 2. I'll give one more scripture on this, and then we'll move to another point. And I've tried to explain this to Judaism, but again, it's that spirit of religion that's coming from the rabbis that it's a very, very hard thing to get them to understand that the Father has a name. Romans 2 and verse 17. It says, behold, you are called a Jew and rest in the law and boast in Yahweh. And drop down. So he's talking now to the Jewish people. In Romans 2, first he was saying to the Gentiles. Now he's talking to the Jew. So he's saying to the Jewish person who rests in the law and boasts in Yahweh. Drop down to verse 23. You who boast in law, do you dishonor Yahweh through transgression of law? For the name of Yahweh is blasphemed among the nations through you, even as it has been written. And that is so true. In the diaspora of Judaism, for thousands or hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years, Yahweh's name was blasphemed among the nations because of them, because they weren't using it. They were bringing the name to nothing. You know, they made it common. They used only a title. Now, we're going to get into some of the things in Scripture that tells us about the name and what to do with the name. But my question is, how can we pray to a name we don't use? How can we exalt a name we don't use? How can we praise a name we don't use? How can we honor a name we don't use? And how can we respect a name we don't use? It's impossible. And like I said, it's disrespectful to just use titles. It's not wrong, but if you're only using titles and don't know the name, it really is disrespectful to the Creator. You're not knowing Him in a personal way. The Scripture does relate the Father in titles. El Shaddai is a title. You know, the Almighty El. the Eternal One, a title fine to use. But again, we have to make sure we know his name. One thing that we'll show you, on the back of our dollar bill, in America it says, "In God We Trust." Now, there's been a big thing recently that's come up about an atheist is fighting in court. They want that taken off the money. And everyone is in an uproar. It doesn't matter what religion. Everyone is for, we want that to stay in the money. But let me ask you a question. How many people would support putting on the back of the dollar bill, "In Yahweh we trust"? Nobody. Nobody in a million years, except for people who know Yahweh's name, would support that. See, "In God we trust" is very generic. Allah is God. Vishnu is God. You know, Baal is God. Whoever they believe, God is just generic for anything. And I've told the story before, just around the corner over here, where I cast a demon out of a man. Awful demon, had green foam coming out of its mouth. And when I said to him, "I come in the name of Yeshua, the son of Elohim," his question was, "Which Elohim? Which God?" You know, because like I said, all of them are God. And when you talk to people here, if you talk to the Catholic and you say God, or you talk to the Muslim and you say God, in their mind they're thinking of who their God is. But when you say Yahweh, there's no doubt on who it is. You know, Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh. Now you're at a different level. Now you're at a level where people know exactly where you're coming from, and most people probably won't like it. So like I said, not that titles are wrong in places, but we want to make sure that we use the Father's personal name, especially when we're praying, especially when we're reading Scripture. But we don't want to use it in everyday language, because that's another way to make it common. See, where the Jewish people never use it, they're making it common and bringing it to nothing. Sometimes some sacred name people use it every other word, and they're making it common. If you use it every other word out of your mouth as the Tetragrammaton, the YHWH, you're making it a common word. And you don't want to do that. There's a man we know here who was a historian for 40 years, and we were talking to him, and he said, "You just don't blurt out the name of the Creator. You say the Almighty Yahweh, the Awesome Yahweh." He said, "You put reverence to it." And we want to make sure even the ones that love his name and use his name, we don't want to make it common. And most of the time we try to say like our Heavenly Father, you know, something like that, because he is our Father, and not use the name YHWH just in everyday language. Because there's power in that name. And that's the reason Satan doesn't want us to use the name. There's power of healing, there's power of miracles, there's power of relationships. So we want to make sure that we're not making it common by never using it, and you don't want to make sure you're making it common by always using it. You want to have a balance to it. If we go to Jeremiah 2, a real phenomenon in religion that has happened is that the Father's people have forgot his name. Jeremiah, the second chapter. And I'm going to start in verse 8. I'll read 8 through 13. Jeremiah 2, in verse 8, said, The priest did not say, "Where is Yahweh? And they who handle the law did not know me, and the shepherds rebelled against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things not profitable. Therefore I will contend with you, says Yahweh, and I will contend with your son's sons. For go to the isles of Chittim and see, and send to Kedar, and carefully consider and see if there is anything like this. Has a nation changed its gods? And are they not gods? But my people have changed their glory without it having profit. Be amazed at this, O heaven, and be horrified. Be completely desolated, declares Yahweh. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hewn them out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Very interesting. I read the scripture when we were on the Temple Mount showing. He's the river of living waters. You know, the water's coming up from the Gihon Spring. But he's saying, have you ever seen anything like this? Every religion that ever was is pagan. Everyone, except, because there's only one deity, right? So only Israel that knew Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were worshiping the real one. We know that. We know there's not, like it is in pagan religions, 10 gods, 100 gods, 1,000 gods, like they say. We know it's all fake. And yet these people all have personal names for their gods. They all do. Any religion you look in will give you a personal name. Matter of fact, the reason why sometimes, even on ancient inscriptions, they found the name Yahweh from some even pagan societies is because they knew that was the real name, and they would use that name. They would use 10 names. That's why Astarte is Easter, and she's also Semiramis, and she's also Diana, because they would pile on the names. They would take any god, they would take anything from anywhere and bring it together. And here it is, his called out people, his covenant people, his true people, and many of them aren't using his name. Like he says, have you ever seen anything like this? You know, the false people will all do it, but the true people don't. And I always say the name Satan. I mean, that's the same in any language, anywhere. There's no question on how to say it. Everybody knows it. He sure made sure his name is being proclaimed among his kingdom. And we want to make sure that Yahweh's name is being proclaimed among the real kingdom. And it's important because, like I said, there's a lot of power in it. So we want to make sure that we keep the name set apart, that we're using the name and not changing it, but at the same rate, we don't want to make it common by using it in everyday language. Let's go to Exodus 3:15, and now we'll start seeing what the Father says about his name. Exodus 3:15, it says, and Elohim said to Moses again, you shall say this to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my title from generation to generation. So very clearly, you know, there's no discrepancy. YHWH, you know. And again, the way you're going to pronounce it or whatever, that's up to you. I've studied and this is the way I believe the name is pronounced. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to understand he has a name. And that Yod He Vav He in the Hebrew, that's the name that he said, this will be my name forever. So again, if I came up to you and said my name is Don, and you kept calling me Fred, you know, it wouldn't make any sense. If he said this is his name forever, it's just a simple fact. Why wouldn't we use the name then to call him that? Another thing is very interesting, that today many people use the word Lord, especially here in Israel. That's all you hear. Not only don't they use the name, everything is just the Lord, this, the Lord, this, the Lord, Lord told me this, Lord told me this, Lord told me this. It's like every other word. It's hi, Lord, yeah, Lord, 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 Lord. It's like in a conversation of 2 minutes, you'll hear about 30 Lords. Well, what does the Father say about that? About changing his name, and that's what Scripture does. You know, they take out the YHWH and they put in capital letters LORD. Whenever you see a capital LORD in your Bible, that means that originally it was the word Yahweh, YHWH. Let's go to Hosea, the second chapter, and let's see what he says about that name. Because what's very interesting, what does that word mean, the word Lord? Well, the word Lord means master or husband. And it comes from the word Baal. The word Baal means master or husband. It means the same thing. So, he is our master, but he says something very interesting in here about that name. That's kind of interesting. Hosea, the second chapter, and I'm going to go to verse 16 and 17. It says, and at that day, it's talking about the restoration of Israel and the tribes getting restored. It says, at that day, says Yahweh, you shall call me my husband, and you shall no more call me my Baal or my Lord. And I will take away the names of the Baals out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. So he's saying, this is not my name, you know. You're calling me by this name, and the Lord could mean anything. That's the point. The Lord can mean absolutely anything. In Britain, they call people Lord Robinson, like he was the head of NATO, and Lord this, and Lord this. It's a title, and it's a title for like a title of respect for a high being, but we don't want to make that into a personal name. Because it's not a personal name. And that's what he's saying. So many people have made the name YHWH into a personal name, L-O-R-D, that he's saying, in that name, I'm going to take that out of your mouth. And you'll know my name, Yahweh. You're not going to call me Lord anymore. Let's go to Malachi 3 again. And this is an exciting scripture because in the end time, the name of the Father is starting to come alive again, which I believe it hadn't for a long, long time. And there's actually a prophecy that talks about this in the end time. Malachi 3, and starting in verse 16, it says, then those fearing Yahweh spoke together, each man to his neighbor, and Yahweh gave attention and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared Yahweh, and for those esteeming his name. And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, for the day that I will make up my treasure, and I will pity them as a man has pity on his son who serves him. Then you shall again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, and between him who serves Yahweh and him who serves him not. So it's exciting. In the end time, he says that his people are going to be coming together and talking about his name. And here we are, you know, a part of that end time remnant that's doing that. That, again, these are not things that we come to conclusions on our own. These are not things that we can read and be educated with it. It's things that spiritually have to be revealed. You know, why is it? Like I said, it's such a simple thing. There isn't a person on this earth who won't understand the name of an individual or human and just call him by that name. But all of a sudden, when it comes to the Father, there's this blinder. And it's a blessing that he's taken that blinder off for us and showed us what his name is. It is an honor and a blessing. And again, it's the one thing I want to say is it's not to be used as a point to attack or to condemn people. Not at all, because it's the Father who's revealing it. What I'm trying to give in this message is to share the blessing of knowing His name. Not to go out there and start attacking people, not to, you know, every time people use the name God or something, to start, oh, you're wrong or you're this. No, not at all. It's to share the blessing of revealing what the name of the Father is. Let's go to Isaiah 52. And we'll see more about in the end time about the Father's name being revealed. Because there's nothing we should be proud of that we know the Father's name. We shouldn't use it as a badge of pride on us. It should actually humble us that we've been honored enough to know the name. And any pride or any glory should go to Him for the name, not for us because we know the name. Isaiah 52, and we read this the first day. It says, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, Zion. Put on your beautiful robes, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Never again shall come unto you uncircumcised and unclean ones. Shake yourself from the dust, rise up. Sit, Jerusalem, free yourself from your neckbands, O captive daughter of Zion. For so says the Almighty Yahweh, you were sold for nothing, and you will not be redeemed with silver. For so says the Almighty Yahweh, my people went down at first into Egypt to reside there, and without cause Assyria oppressed him. Now then, what is this to me, declares Yahweh? For my people is taken away for nothing, those ruling him how, declares Yahweh, and my name is despised continuously every day. So my people shall know my name, so it shall be that day, I am he who speaks, behold me." See, this is a beautiful part. He says, in that day people will know his name. Well, how will they know his name? How on earth will they know his name? Look at the next verse. "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him bringing tidings, making peace heard, bringing good news, making heard salvation, saying to Zion, your Elohim reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up the voice together, they sing aloud, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh brings back Zion." How beautiful that is, isn't it? That here it is, he's revealing his name to people like us around the globe, and then he's saying he's going to bring his people here to gather at Jerusalem for the feast, and then he says his name will be proclaimed, and how beautiful are those feet on the mountain. And that's part of our job here. Part of our job here is to proclaim the name of Yahweh. We do it several ways. We do it in our actions, when people see our love and our honesty and our integrity. And we literally do it by sharing it with people. When we say, well, do you know the Father really has a name? I had somebody, we wear shirts sometimes that say Yahweh, and Clifford had one on the other day. And you'll never know the opportunities you have to witness sometimes when you're wearing that. One time I was at the post office just recently, this summer, and they saw my stamp, my return stamp that said Congregation of YHWH. And the lady at the post office said, do you mind me asking, what's YHWH? And I said, well, it's the name of the Heavenly Father, Yahweh. And I explained, I said, in the Bible, 7,000 times they've taken his name out and replaced it with generic titles, either Lord or God. And the guy who was sitting behind there, he says, wow, isn't that totally against the third commandment? And I was like, whoa. And I'm like, you got it. So you never know. You never know what opportunity he's going to give to witness. But remember that. Remember, not in an arrogant way, not in a condemning way, but part of our job here is really to proclaim the name of Yahweh. It could be you might meet somebody out here who's sick or whatever, and you could pray for him in the name of Yahweh. You know, they have to see that the Father's name has meaning, that there's power and there's importance to it. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. Because on the other end, like I said, in diaspora, he says that the sons of Israel, not only Judah, but all of us, we all come from pagan backgrounds, and all of us have profaned his name in diaspora, whether it's us personally or our ancestors. Jeremiah 36 and verse 16. Ezekiel 36 and verse 16. It says, "And the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt on their land, they even defiled it by the ways and by their doings. As the punishment of a woman's impurity, their way was before me. So I poured out my fury on them because of the blood that they had poured out on the land and for their idols which they defiled. And I scattered them among the nations, and they were sown among the land. I judged them there where they went by their ways and their doings. And when they entered into the nations, there where they went, they even profaned my holy name by saying to them, these are the people of Yahweh, and they have gone out of his land." So we see this. We are a progression of ancestry that not only was in diaspora, that's for doing this, for profaning his name. And isn't it great now that we can be that first generation who changes the tide, who starts to call on his name, who starts to use his name, who changes that tide from, instead of profaning the name, to glorifying the name and making power and glory out of it. Ezekiel 12, I'll just read two verses there, just turn back a few pages. Ezekiel, the 12th chapter, verse 15 and 16. It says, "And they shall know that I am Yahweh when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the land. But I will leave of them a number of men from the sword, from the famine, and from the plague, so that they may declare all their abominations among the nations, there where they go, and they will know that I am Yahweh. Like I said, the same as the other one we read in 36, that he left this remnant to go on and on and on, and now we're living in that time of redemption. We're the first part of the remnant to be redeemed, to have his name revealed, and all these things happening. Let's go to Jeremiah 16. I talked a little bit about this the other day, the regathering. You know, we talked about the regathering of Israel. And the second exodus that's going to happen that he says is going to be so fantastic, you won't even remember the exodus in Egypt. And look what he says, chapter 16 and verse 14. It says, so behold, the days come, declares Yahweh, that it shall no longer be said, as Yahweh lives who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but rather as Yahweh lives who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and all the lands there where he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave to their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, declares Yahweh, and they shall fish for them. And after this I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt for them. And from every mountain and from every hill and out of the clefts of the rock. For my eyes are on all their ways, they are not hidden from my face. Their iniquity is not hidden from my eyes. At first I will twice repay their iniquity and their sin, because they've defiled my land with the bodies of their hateful things. Yes, their hateful idols have filled my inheritance. O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the nation shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited only lies, vanity, where there's no profit in them. And we were talking, and someone was telling me they're seeing almost everything that they've come out of wound up being lies. You know, and that's the thing. The more you come into the truth, the more you see the other way, the lies of everything. Can a man make gods to himself, but they are not gods? Therefore, behold, I will make them know. This time I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yahweh. And there's no doubt in my mind that anyone who understands the Father's name will not be deceived in the end time by the false Messiah, because the false Messiah is not going to be going by the name of Yahweh. He's not going to be using the Father's name. So by knowing that, knowing his real name, it's a way that you could stop from being deceived. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28, and let's look at what the Father says about his name, the glory of his name. Deuteronomy 28 and one verse, verse 58. It says, if you will not take heed to do all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this glorious and fearful name, Yahweh your Elohim. So very clearly he's telling them, you know, that all the words of this book they have to do, they have, you know, if they want the blessings of the book. And he says, to fear this glorious and wonderful name, Yahweh your Elohim. So very clearly, nobody can claim ignorance. You know, if you look in the scriptures, very clearly he reveals his name in the scriptures. There's no doubt about that. Let's read a few psalms and see what the psalm tells about his name. Let's start in Psalm 34. Psalm, the 34th psalm. And I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. It says, I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall always be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt his name together. And it's funny, you know, a lot of the songs that you hear sung, even some of the songs we're singing here, or some of the songs in Christianity, they'll say these things. Give praise to his name, exalt his name, but they never do it. They never use the name in the song, because they don't understand that his name is not God. His name isn't G-O-D, that his name is Y-H-W-H, Yahweh. So it's like, this is where I said, like, so many people that come to that, the truth of that, they're happy when you reveal that to them. Not everybody. I mean, people will give you a hard time at times too. But people are happy that now they know the name to exalt. It's not just let us exalt his name. Well, what is the name? What good is telling that unless you know what the name is to exalt? Let's go to Psalm 99. And again, it's a commandment. You can't exalt something that you're not using. Psalm 99, I'll read 1 through 9. Actually, it's the whole psalm. It says, Yahweh reigns, let the people tremble. He sits upon the cherub, let the earth quake. Yahweh is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. They shall thank you, your great and fearful name. It is holy. The king's strength also loves judgment. You have established uprightness. You work judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt Yahweh our Elohim and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called to Yahweh, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimony and the law that he gave to them. You answered them, O Yahweh, our Elohim. You were Elohim who forgives to them, but taking vengeance on their work. Exalt Yahweh, our Elohim, and worship at his holy hill, for Yahweh, our Elohim, is holy. That's a powerful scripture because he says that if you pray to him, they called on the name of Yahweh and he answered them. Now think about it. Most people here have children. Now if you have two children, Johnny and, you know, Joe, and you're calling Johnny, do you expect Joe to answer? No. You can't be saying, Johnny, 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 and then you go to Joe, why didn't you answer me, you know, and slap him? No, it doesn't work that way. No, he's going to say, you didn't call my name. So the same way, if we want the Father to answer us, why wouldn't we expect to call on his name for that? You know, and that's the reason why Satan wants to hide the name, because he knows it. He knows there's power in the name. And I'm not saying Yahweh doesn't answer people who don't know his name. He has mercy, and he understands. But you get deeper. It's like going from the holy place to the most holy place. You know, it's just getting into that deeper relationship. And again, that's what we're looking for. We're looking to go that extra mile. Let's go to Psalm 105. And I'll read verse 1 through 11. It says, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. Seek Yahweh and his strength, and seek his face without ceasing. Remember his wonders that he has done, his miracles in the judgments of his mouth. O seed of his servant Abraham, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Yahweh, our Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word he commanded to 1,000 generations, which he cut with Abraham in his oath to Isaac. And he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel for a perpetual covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. This is what we were talking about, right where we are. When they were but a few men in number, very few and strangers in it, and they went about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to the other people. And I think I'll stop over there. So we see that he's telling these people to call on his name, to exalt his name together. And it's part of his covenant. It's part of his covenant with Abraham that out of all people on the earth, part of the inheritance that he's promising us here is that he is our deity. He's our Elohim, you know, and that he's revealed his name to us. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22. And like I said, we as Ephraim really have the responsibility to proclaim the name. 2 Samuel 22. And you know, David had some beautiful psalms. You know, when you look at people like David or people like Abraham, they knew Yahweh in a personal way. You know, he was called friend of Yahweh. Can you imagine that? Well, I would love that. I would love to have him say, you know, Don's my friend. Because a friend is someone you know in an intimate way. It's not just an acquaintance. And David was the same way, a man after his own heart. What does that say? That David thought the way the Father did. David had mercy. David had kindness. David had judgment. Because look at David. At times, boy, he used the sword. But at times he had mercy and such compassion it was unbelievable. And that's the way the Father is. He knew how to divide it the way the Father did. So let's look what's said here. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 48. And it says, he is Elohim who is giving vengeance for me and brings down people under me and brings me forth from my enemies. Yea, you raise me up above those rising against me. You deliver me from the violent man. For this reason, I will confess you, Yahweh, among nations, and I will sing praise to your name. A tower of salvation is he is to his king, even doing mercy to his Messiah and to his beloved and his seed until forever. So we see here that he's saying that, you know, he will proclaim that. Do we feel that way? You know, I know many people come here and they don't want to offend the Jewish people, and nobody wants to offend anybody. We're not trying to offend somebody. And they won't use the name of Yahweh at all. And he's saying to proclaim this name. And there's a way, and I've done it many, many times, that you could witness the name of Jewish people without offending them. But I wonder, sometimes we seem more worried about not offending, whether it's a Jewish person or a human being, than not offending Yahweh. That we will compromise with the Father and we'll compromise with his word not to offend another human being, but to him we're not worried about it. You know, and it's like, well, I know it's wrong, but I didn't want to hurt his feelings. You know, what that's showing is we don't know the Father then personal enough. Because if we know him personal enough and we know we're going to have to get on our hands and knees and talk to him in a little while, we have to make sure our first offense is not against our Father. So again, he's telling us to proclaim his name. It's a responsibility of ours. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 16. Another beautiful message here. First Chronicles 16, I'm going to start in verse 8. It says, "Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call on His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him. Tell of all His marvelous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those seeking Yahweh rejoice. Seek Yahweh in His strength. Seek His face continuously. Remember His wonders that He has done, His signs in the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is Yahweh our Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word He commanded to 1,000 generations, which He has made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac. And He established it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for a covenant forever, saying, I will give you the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were few in number, even few, and sojourners in it. And they went up and down in the nations to nation, and from one kingdom to another people. He has not allowed any to oppress them, yea, for their sake He has reproved kings. Touch not my Messiah, and do my prophets no evil. Sing to Yahweh all the earth, proclaim His salvation from day to day." And what is salvation in Hebrew? Yeshua. So proclaim Yeshua from day to day. "Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all the people. For great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all Elohim. For all Elohim of the people are nothing, but Yahweh has made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give to Yahweh, O kindred of the people, give to Yahweh glory and strength. Give to Yahweh the glory of His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Yea, the earth is established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among nations, Yahweh reigns. Let the sea roar in the fullness. Let the fields rejoice and all that is in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing out before Yahweh, for He has come to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And say, Oh, save us, Elohim of our salvation, or Elohim of Yeshua, and gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name, that we may glory in Your praise. Blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting." And all the people said, Amen, and gave praise to Yahweh. So this is what Israel did as a nation. So it's inconceivable to think that ancient Israel did not use the name of Yahweh. It's inconceivable. We see it everywhere in Scripture. We see that that's what they did. They exalted His name. They praised His name. They gave glory to His name. Go to 1 Chronicles 29 while we're in there. 1 Chronicles 29. I'm going to read verse 10 through 13. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10 through 13. "And David blessed Yahweh before the eyes of all the congregation. And David said, Blessed are You, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. To You, O Yahweh, shall be the greatness and the power." Psalm 29. "For all that is in the heavens and the earth belong to You, O Yahweh. Yours is the kingdom, and You lift up Yourself to all as head. And the riches and the honor come from before You, and You rule over all. And in Your hand is power and might. And it is in Your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our Elohim, we are giving thanks to You and giving praise to Your glorious name." You just think of this. Every single thing in this earth, every single thing is made by Him. Absolutely everything. Mankind cannot so much as make a blade of grass. What we can do is we can take something that Yahweh created and put it in another form. You know, we could take a tree and make it into a chair. You know, we can take stone and make it into a house. But we can't create. He created everything. By His breath, you know, the worlds were made. By His speaking, and it was. And like I said, just logically from a human standpoint, think. You know, why on earth wouldn't we want to give that glory to the name above all names who did all this creation, who is so set apart from everything? Why would we just want to call Him nothing? Why would we want to call Him the name? Why would we want to call Him just a generic title, man or God or... You, why would we want to use that personal name and get deeper into that personal relationship? Let's go back to Psalm 29. And I know so many people have told me that once they started to use the name in prayer and understand the name, that their personal relationship with Yahweh and Yeshua got so much deeper by that, by understanding who He is and literally having that personal relationship. And that's what happens sometimes in organizations. When you're in an organization and they're funneling you, almost like they're being like the veil, they're sewing that veil back up that was ripped in two. So instead of having access to the Father, you have to come through them. You have to come through the minister or the pastor or the priest or whatever it is. And that's what's happening. And that's why in the organizations, they're not revealing the name of Yahweh. Because they don't want you to know him directly. They want to be the mediator. And we know from Timothy, there's one mediator. And that's why, you know, when Yeshua came to earth, and I'm going to prove it here, he used the name. Yeshua used the name of the Father when he came to earth. And that was one of the things that shocked him. When he got up in that synagogue and he came to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. There's no way that Yeshua read scripture and changed it, his name, to something else. And that's why when it says, and they picked up stones to stone him, why did they do that? It wasn't because he was reading scripture. They didn't even understand it. They went to stone him because he used the name. And at that time, the Jewish people had already gotten to the point where they felt the name was too sacred to use it. It's in the Talmud. It says that Yeshua did miracles because he went into the temple and stole the name. Now, how do you do that? How do you go in temple and steal the name? You know, it's crazy. But that's the way they say he did miracles. So what does that prove? On one sense, you can get men and say, oh, they lied. But no, I look the other way. We have a historical record now that proves that Yeshua used the name of Yahweh. Because his enemies are saying it. They're saying he healed by the name of Yahweh. So it tells you that it's definitely power in there that we want to use. Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2. Give to Yahweh, sons of mighty ones. Give to Yahweh glory and strength. Give to Yahweh the glory of his name. Worship Yahweh in the majesty of his holiness. So again, are we giving him that glory? Are we giving him that glory? Psalm 7, one verse. Psalm 7, one verse, verse 17. It says, I will give thanks to Yahweh according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of Yahweh Most High. So many psalms talk about giving his name the glory, giving his name the glory. Psalm 9, 1 and 2. I will give thanks to Yahweh with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wonderful acts. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will praise your name, O Most High. So many things talk about praising, exalting, lifting up the name of the Heavenly Father. Let's go to Isaiah 42. Let's look what Yahweh says about himself and his name. Isaiah 42 in verse 5 through 8. Isaiah 42, verse 5 through 8. Thus says Yahweh Elohim, creating the heavens and stretching them out, spreading out the earth and its offspring, giving breath to the people on it and spirit to those walking in it. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and will give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations, to open blind eyes, to deliver the prisoner from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graved images. And rightly so. Like I say, when you look at how awesome he is, rightly so that he should say, I am Yahweh, this is my name, and I'm not going to give my glory to others. And like I say, when people generically only use G-O-D, they're not giving him the glory. Because there's many gods, many of them. But there's only one true one, Yahweh Elohim of Israel. And like I said, if we never use his name, we're not giving him the glory or the honor that that name comes. You know, it's interesting, like I said, in Hebrew, every letter has a meaning. And we have the book here, I might show it if we have some time before we leave. It's called Hebrew Word Pictures. And it shows, like Miha was talking about yesterday, every letter in Hebrew was originally a picture. And our alphabet actually comes from that too. And the Aleph. The Aleph is the first letter in Hebrew. It was originally a picture of an ox. And that picture became the modern Hebrew Aleph. And our A comes from that. The Bet was a picture of a house. And what used to happen is, the way they used to have their pictograph languages, by putting the pictures together, it tells a story. Like an enemy would be a picture of a man and a picture of a weapon. A man with a weapon is an enemy. The word picture for peace, shalom, you know what the word picture is? When the enemy who causes chaos is destroyed. The authority that causes chaos is destroyed. That's what peace is. So here it is, without even knowing Hebrew, if you memorize those 22 pictures, you could read the Hebrew and see what the meaning was. And sometimes you get way more out of that than even the modern Hebrew that does it. So it's an awesome language. And like I said, every single letter, every single word means something. It means Yah will strengthen. You look at the word Eliyahu or Elijah. Yahweh is my El. Gabriel means warrior of Yah. Michael means who is like Yahweh. And of course the name above every name, Yeshua. Yeshua means the salvation of Yahweh. And that's every name. There's not a name in Hebrew that you won't find that has a meaning to it. They all have meaning to it. And like I said, the name Yeshua means Yahweh is my salvation. So if every name in Hebrew has meaning, do we honestly think that the Father's name would have no meaning? That it would mean nothing? That, you know, it would just be a title? Absolutely not. Now, what I want to do is I want to prove to you from a scripture in the Bible, and one scripture I'm going to quote you from the Talmud, that without a doubt, Yeshua was only killed because he used the name of Yahweh. That is the only way they were able to kill him. Go to Matthew 26. Because remember, it says Yeshua set us an example in all things that we should follow. So if Yeshua proclaimed the name of the Father, then we should also proclaim the name of the Father. Deuteronomy 26, I'm going to start in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and I'm going to start in verse 63. Matthew 26. And this is when Yeshua was before the high priest. And look what it says. It says, Yeshua kept silent, and answering the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living Elohim that you tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of Elohim. Yeshua said to him, you have said it, I tell you more. From this time you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and of Yahweh, and coming into the clouds of heaven. From the high priest tore his garment, saying, he blasphemed. Why do you have any more need of witnesses? Behold, you have heard his blasphemy. What does it seem to you? And answering, they said, he is liable to death. Then they spit in his face, they beat him with the fist, and they slapped the hand, saying, prophesy to us, Messiah, who is the one that struck you? Now, very interesting. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. In the Talmudic book of Sanhedrin, chapter 7, verse, it says that a blasphemer could only be put to death if he blasphemed using the name of Yahweh. So clearly here, the reason why the high priest tore his clothes and said what should be his punishment, and they said put him to death, was because he used the name of Yahweh. And in the original Matthew, in your King James, I don't think it uses the name God or Yahweh, but in the original Hebrew Matthew it does. It's in there. And I have a copy of it, the Shem Tov Matthew. So it says, when he said, you know, you say it, I tell you more, from here on in, you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. And that's when they, because he used the name Yahweh, they ripped their clothes and they said he's liable to death. They would not have been allowed by their own law, Sanhedrin 7:7, to kill him unless he had pronounced the name. And that's why they went crazy at that point. So it proves that Yeshua used the name also. The last scripture I want to go to is Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26. And starting in verse 16, I'll read verse 16 to 19. It says, today Yahweh your Elohim commands you to do these statutes and ordinances. You shall take heed to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have today declared Yahweh to be your Elohim, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to pay attention to his voice. And Yahweh has declared you today to be his people, a special treasure, as he has spoken to you, and to keep you, as he has spoken to you, and to keep all his commandments. And he will make you high above all nations that he has made, in praise, and in name, and in glory, and that you may be a holy people to Yahweh your Elohim, as he has spoken. Isn't that interesting that it says, he made us a special treasure above all things, in glory and in name. He has sanctified our name. He has put aside our name. He has put our name in the book of life. Shouldn't we give him the same glory? I mean, here it is, that he looked at us so special. He knows us by name. It says he'll even give us a new name. And he set all this glory for us. Shouldn't we at least do the same for him? Shouldn't we give him the glory that he deserves, where he gives us the glory that we don't deserve? And I thought, that what a beautiful scripture. So again, you know, in closing, I don't believe the name of Yahweh is a doctrine. You know, I don't like to say it that way, because I don't want to bring judgment on people that don't know his name or understand his name, because I honestly believe that he has purposely blinded his name from the world to stop them from blaspheming. Because it says the blasphemer will not be forgiven. You know, they'll be accountable. And how many people every day of the week blaspheme his name? How many times at work do you hear, you know, Jesus, you know, whatever, you know, in a curse way, or whatever, and they blaspheme his name. So by hiding his name, he is actually protecting them from blaspheming it. So a message like this isn't meant to judge people who don't know his name. It's meant to enlighten people. Yes. It's meant to share with people what the name really is. We have a tape called What's in a Name, where I go more into, from showing this kind of sermon, the spiritual side and the wonders and the glory we have with using His name. It's more of a tape to show what really a name is and why it is. You know, anybody's welcome to get that tape that may hear this later. And it also gets into the name Yeshua compared to the name of Jesus. But you know, there's only one name or one word universally that's accepted in every language. When I first heard that, I thought it was either the word yes or no. So, well, maybe everybody is. But even that isn't. You know, there's, like in German, I think, what is it, nine?
Yeah.
That means no or yes?
No.
That means no, yeah. So even yes and no is not universal. But there's one universal word in any language, and that's hallelujah. And that's not a name you would think would be universal, you know? It's not like a simple word or one that everybody uses. But hallel means praise in Hebrew, and Yah is His name. Hallelujah, praise Yah. The only universal name in all the earth. So let's take a sermon like this. Let's think about that in the time we have remaining here. Let's look for opportunity and pray for opportunity to be able to proclaim the Father's name, not only in word, but to make sure we're proclaiming it in deed.